Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, all the way to the end of the chapter 10. This is the reading of God's word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you in your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home, when the hail comes down near them, will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky and hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, on man and on a beast and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky and the Lord sent thunder and hail. And fire ran down to the earth and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, the fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field, only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord, and thunder will cease, and there will be a hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripened late. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. They shall cover the surface of the land so that no one will be able to see the land. They will also eat the rest of what has escaped, what is left to you from the hail. And they will eat every tree which sprouts for you out of the field. Then your houses shall be filled, and the houses of your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, something which neither you, your fathers, nor your grandfathers have seen from the day that they came upon the earth until this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the man go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going?" Moses said, "We shall go with our young and all our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." Then he said to them, "Thus may the Lord be with you. If ever I let you and your little ones go, take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, that for that is what you desire." So they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up on the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land, even all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day, all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. They had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. For they covered the surface of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every plant of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Thus nothing green was left on tree or plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, "I have sinned against your Lord, your God, and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and make supplication to the Lord your God that he would only remove this death from me." He went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. So the Lord shifted the wind to a very strong west wind, which took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh said to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herd be detained. Even your little ones may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Go away from me, be aware. Do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "You are right. I shall never see your face again." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us hear the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us also see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And let us rejoice and give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Receive all the glory, God, and pour out your grace upon us, your people. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have seen how God has put a division between his people and the world. The Exodus event itself is God putting this division. God is setting apart his people from the other nations of the world. And same thing can be said about our salvation. God saving us is God putting this division between us and the world. And the purpose of this division, as we have seen last Lord's Day, is to be set apart so that we may be like our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of this division. We witness this division by living the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Because when you live just like non-Christians, then you're not witnessing that division. Because you look just like them. But our God, his will toward us is that through our lives, we witness this division. Our life is a participation in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this division expresses itself in our lives as the sufferings and the persecutions because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have been set apart as his holy people. Even as we worship right now, we see how we have been separated from this sinful world. We have come out of this world and gathered in heaven. And we must live by faith. Live in terms of what we believe. That is the problem. We say we believe a lot of things, but our lives never show that we actually believe. Today, let us move on to the third group of the plagues, plagues number 7, 8, and 9, hail, locusts, and darkness. As we look at these plagues, notice how the plagues are getting stronger. Chapter 9, verse 18, behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. Fire ran down from the earth, down to the earth. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, so there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not seen or had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Again, chapter 10, verse 14, the locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. It's getting stronger. And this is what you will see in the book of Revelation. God's judgment upon this world is getting stronger. So we will have stronger earthquakes and stronger flood. This is exactly what God has told us. How much longer? How much more can Pharaoh endure? Here we must understand that God has power to destroy Pharaoh at once. He could just snap his fingers and Pharaoh will be dead. God is not here trying this and trying that to see what will make Pharaoh surrender. No. All is according to God's holy plan. All is to bring much glory to himself. Chapter 9, verse 14 to the 16, "For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth." As judgments multiply, what we see is more of God's glory. And this is according to God's plan. And one more thing to remember here is that God is not just showing off his power through these plagues. These are his judgments. And these are the picture of decreation, the reverse of the creation that we saw last time. Because salvation of God is the new creation. But for this sinful world, the judgment of God falls on it. Decreation. And here in our passage, we see God brings judgment upon the land of Egypt. From chapter 9, verse 17, we see the plague of hailstone. 19, "Now therefore send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home when the hail comes down on them will die." Verses 23 to 24, "Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt." And verse 25 says, "The hail struck all that was in the field." This hailstorm is not just a natural one. It is a supernatural judgment of God. And this reminds us of another story in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25. "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground." What we see in our passage is that kind of judgment of God. Verse 22b, "That hail may fall on the all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt." And did you hear that in verse 22? "It may fall on man and on beast and on every plant of the field." Man, beast, and plant. The reverse order of creation. Again, a picture of decreation. Because plant was created first, then beast, and then man. But here we have it in reverse order. Thus the judgment. Reverse of creation. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And this we read from Revelation. Culmination of all the similar events in the world that happened in history after Jesus Christ first came. And it will get stronger. For unbelieving Egyptians, these plagues are not the only judgment of God that they must face. When Jesus returns, they will resurrect to face the ultimate judgment of God that these plagues are pointing to. Only way for anyone to escape the judgment of God is to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be set apart in Christ. That reality is shown in verse chapter 9, verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hell. It is not that God will pour out. It is not that God will not pour out His judgment upon us who are in Christ Jesus. God will not pour out His judgment upon us because our Lord Jesus Christ has received all the judgment of God in our places upon the cross. You know, some people have a wrong idea of God. They think of God as someone like Santa Claus. You know, ho, ho, ho. So God will say to everybody, ho, 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 I will forgive your sins. No, God cannot forgive your sins unless the judgment of God has already poured upon you, or at least upon someone else who takes your place. See, God is not just good God. Yes, He is good God, but not the way that world thinks. God is not just forgiving your sins because He's just a jolly guy. Only reason He's forgiving your sin is that Jesus Christ received the judgment of God for your sins. That's the only reason. God will judge. No exception. Otherwise, He's not righteous God. But Jesus received all the judgment of God in our places. Thus, God does not judge us anymore. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. But here Pharaoh hardens his heart again. 9:35, chapter 9, verse 35. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord has spoken through Moses. Now from chapter 10, verse 1, we see the eighth plague, the plague of locusts. Chapter 10, verse 4 through 6, for if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. They shall cover the surface of the land so that no one will be able to see the land. They will also eat the rest of what has escaped, what is left to you from the hail, and they will eat every tree which sprouts for you out of the field. Then your houses shall be filled, and the houses of your servants and houses of all the Egyptians, something which neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day that they came upon the earth until this day. But here we see a very interesting thing that happens. This time, the servants of Pharaoh come and plead with Pharaoh. Verse 7, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go. that they may serve the Lord their God, do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed? You see it? The Pharaoh's kingdom is divided. We saw this before, chapter 9, verse 20. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses when the hail, before hail came. Jesus says in Mark chapter 3, verse 24, if a kingdom is divided against itself, what kingdom? That kingdom cannot stand. Pharaoh's kingdom is falling apart by the judgment of God. Just like Satan's kingdom will be completely destroyed by the judgment of God. Now, Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron, chapter 10, verse 8 through 11. So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Moses said, we shall go with our young and our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And Pharaoh says, may the Lord be with you. If ever I let you and your little ones go, take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. Only men are allowed to go, Pharaoh says. Pharaoh tries so hard to show that he is still in control. But control, he has not. Chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. Now Pharaoh even repents of his sins, even though you and I know that his repentance is not genuine, of course. Chapter 10, verse 16 through 17, then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron. He said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Of course, this is not true repentance. Why? Why is this not true repentance? Well, Bible tells us that you need grace from God to truly repent. I mean, you could say all these things. And you could say the word repent so many times. I repent, I repent. But you cannot truly repent unless God pours out His grace. That's why repentance is God's grace. It's not something we could do on our own. We could regret, but cannot repent. That's why even for repentance, you really need to pray. Depend on Him. Otherwise, you know what happens. Your repentance is not really repentance. So, yeah, Pharaoh can say, I have sinned against your God. But we know that this is not true repentance. Anyway, God removes all the locusts in Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh did not let the sons of Israel go. God is holy. He must judge the sinners. You cannot escape the judgment of God by bribing God or trying to earn His favor. You know, only men go. Well, you could take you know, kids, but not the flocks. As if he's doing big favor. You cannot escape the judgment of God by bribing God or trying to earn his favor or just do your best and hope for the best. Again, only way to escape the judgment of God is faith in Jesus Christ, who received the judgment of God for his people. And remember again, God is not saving the Israelites just because they are more righteous than the Egyptians. No. If you read the rest of the Old Testament, we will see how the Israelites, they too sinned greatly against God. And when you read Joel chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, you will know that God judges Israel with the same judgment that God has judged Egyptians with, the locusts. The same judgment that God brought to Egypt. In Joel, God judges Israelites. So obviously it's not, Israelites are not being saved because they're more righteous than Egyptians. How about us? Are we more righteous than these people? Are we more righteous than the people who do not believe? Is that why you're saved and they are not? No. Again, we're saved only because of Christ. It is God who gave you faith to believe. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 10. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. And the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for the battle. And on their heads appeared to be a crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of woman. Their teeth were like the teeth of a lion. They had breastplate like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings. And in their tail is their power to hurt men for 5 months. Revelation talks about the similar judgment that God will pour out to this world. You know, judgment is so severe that they actually want to die, but they can't. Now, what saves you from all this? As you come to worship, you really need to realize what has happened to you. That is why only way that you could come out to God is with joy. Otherwise, you really don't know what happened to you. We're not here to appease our God's anger. Or that if you don't show up on Lord's Day, somehow God will just be so angry at that he will just pour out some judgment upon you. We are here because we're so thankful. So joyous that I have been saved out of his judgment. That God is no longer someone that I fear, but that I love. If you really understand what kind of judgment that you actually deserve, and if it wasn't for Christ that you will receive, if you really understand that, and that now you have been saved out of that, I will guarantee you, you will be happy. You're not happy because you really don't get it. And that's the problem of today's people. They don't get it. They don't get the gospel. That's why they're complaining and they're not happy at all. And you ask them, why are you not happy? They will give you all kinds of things they're not happy about. But you listen to their complaints and you will realize everything they're complaining about, that's a million times better than the judgment they actually deserve. Trillion times better than the actual judgment that we deserve. People just don't get it. That's why they're not happy. Once we believe, once we know, there's no way we will not be happy. No matter what happens in our lives. These not only harm plants and trees, they harm all the sinners who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, meaning all those who do not have the Holy Spirit. The salvation of God is only in Jesus Christ, only the people who believe in Jesus Christ and those who are thus sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I'm trying to hurry this thing and it's not good. But anyway, now to the next plague, because I want to spare you. I don't want to bring every one plague every week for 10 weeks. So I'm trying to put three plagues, because we're talking about judgment of God, and I try to, you know, spare you. But, you know, once you fully understand what judgment's about and how you are saved out of it, maybe it could have been a good thing. Now from chapter 10, verse 21, we see the ninth plague, the plague of darkness. Chapter 10, verse 21 through 23, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. It's so dark that you could feel the darkness. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from their place for 3 days. Nobody even bothered to get up from their beds. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh says to Moses, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herd be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. Pharaoh continually tried. Moses rejects the offer. Moses said, you must also let us the sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore our livestock too shall go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord. Again, the Lord gave Pharaoh over to his sinful desire, so Pharaoh was not willing to let them go. One of the most powerful Egyptian gods, sun god was called Ra. R-A. Ra was sun god. And again, this god is proven false. Even the sun is a servant of God. It was created for the glory of God. Again, we see the reverse of the creation. Thus, decreation. See, if salvation is a new creation, judgment is decreation. You get the pattern. It's going back to chaos. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2a, the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep. From this, God says, let there be light. See, that's creation. But it's going backwards. And when all the creation was done, we see the Garden of Eden. Now in the ninth plague, we see the reverse. And the darkness is a symbol of death. Chapter 10, verse 23a, they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Do you see that? A picture of death. Their beds have become their graves. That's the picture. It is a preview of the eternal darkness, the eternal death. And this darkness is also a picture of the sinful state of men. That's why the blind man in the Old Testament was a symbol of a sinner. It's darkness for him. Therefore, Isaiah 59 verse 9 through 12, therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. But brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and mourn, sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sin testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquity. People who live in sin, it's like a blind man just tripping all over the place. They live in darkness. And that is the judgment of God. See, darkness points to sin and death. Thus, the judgment of God falls upon the land of Egypt. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwelling. Again, the division. The division between the children of light and the children of darkness. In the sons of Israel, we see the opposite of what we see in the Egyptians. In the Egyptians, darkness, decreation. In Israelites, light, creation. And that's how creation begins. Let there be light. Let there be light, God says, and the light separates the darkness. The salvation is the new creation. God, who is the light, shone his light upon you and said, let there be light. Now you are a child of light, not the darkness. That's why we never stumble. We never sin. That's how it's going to be in heaven. Without stumbling, without sinning. Because there's light. It's not darkness. We don't have to, scale the wall to figure out where we're going.
Last page.
But remember that we are the children of light because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. To save us, He humbled Himself. He Himself had to experience this darkness, this death. And that for us in our places. When He was dying on the cross, we read in this, in Matthew 27, verse 45 to 46, "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Do you see the symbolism of that darkness that came upon the whole land when Jesus was dying on the cross? And in that darkness, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Do you see the symbolism? Do you see what is really happening? He's not just dying physically. He's dying the eternal death, the eternal darkness. Biblical darkness is not the world darkness. See, you could have all kinds of light, the worldly light. See, even this room, we have all this light. And you could still be completely in darkness. That's death. Because in that darkness, they will never see God. Even with all this light, they will not see God. They will not see truth. And just like the Egyptians were in the darkness for three days, Jesus experienced the darkness of death, the darkness of grave for 3 days. God, who is the light, is under the dominion, under the domination of the darkness for 3 days. That was what He had done for you. But the gospel continues. The darkness could not contain Him forever. On the third day, He was resurrected from the dead. The light shone in the darkness of death. The light shone in the darkness of grave. The true light separates the darkness, and in Him, you and I, we are now the children of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The same light has shone in you. You who were darkness before, the light has shone. Drove out all the darkness in you. You're full of light. Does this judgment no longer applies to you? No darkness can come upon you anymore. Christ has made us the citizens of heaven, in which there is no darkness. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, "And there will no longer be any night. They will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." The heaven is our eternal home. It is the complete opposite of what we see in this ninth plague that came upon the Egyptians. Now in Christ, the darkness has nothing to do with us forever. Christ has called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light, into His marvelous glory. Brothers and sisters, yes, in Christ, these judgments no longer apply to you. But remember how and why. Because Jesus received these judgments in your places. You really need to understand, as a sinner, what you truly deserve. That is why these judgments will drive you to Christ. Because only way to live, not die in these judgments, is Jesus Christ. So even as we hear the judgments of God, this will drive you to Christ if God pours out grace upon you. You know, our salvation is not just avoiding the judgment of God. For some people, their salvation is just that. You know, they're happy because, oh, I don't go to hell. I'm happy. No. We're happy because we're going to be with God. Be with Jesus Christ. We're happy because eternal life is about being with God. So please think of your salvation not in terms of not receiving the judgment, but in terms of you being with God forever. Because opposite of judgment, it's not just no judgment, but everlasting blessing. Blessing of heaven. And that's where you belong. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Pour out your grace upon us as we hear these judgments. Let us understand how sinful we are and what, as a sinners, we truly deserve. Because your eternal judgment is far more serious and severe than these judgments that we see in the book of Exodus. Judgments in the book of Exodus just point to the eternal, ultimate judgment of God. Oh, Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ took our places, took our sins, and you pour out your eternal judgment upon him on that cross. So that we who are in him will not have to receive any more judgment from you. Let us always be thankful, always be grateful, always rejoicing. Bless us, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.